has flown by, and here we are back at the table with Gail. I'm Peter Fleming, but Gail Hall is the star of the show with all her recipes. Hello, Gail.
Oh, hello, Peter. You're so kind. Yeah, another week has gone by, and we've managed to conjure up a few more good recipes for you. And today we're going to start off with the Musaman sweet potato curry, which looks delicious. And then, you know, because we've got somebody in the studio with me, Mr. Peter Fleming, he's a bit of a scone, you know, sort of connoisseur. And I saw these and I thought, oh, tatey scones and with some additional stuff. But I thought, well, this is interesting, making scones with potatoes. So, and then we're going to move on to one pan moussaka, because I think eggplants are sort of in favour at the moment. And basically then we're going to move on to caramelised bread and butter pudding with sultanas and apricot glaze. And that looks lovely and looks really delicious because it's glazed over beautifully. So there we are, Peter.
Sounds good today. Sounds good.
Now, this sweet potato curry looks delicious in the bowl. One large onion halved, thinly sliced. Half a cup of Musaman curry paste. That's something that I haven't got at home, but I'm going to go and have a look at the supermarket when I go after the show. 1 kilo of sweet potatoes peeled, cut in 3 centimetre pieces. Don't worry about measuring them. But basically, when they say 1 kilo of sweet potatoes, Peter, do you think they're talking about kumara?
Well, I assume so. I mean, that's...
I would say kumara if it was me, but...
What else would it be?
Sweet potatoes.
It's a sweet potato. It's exactly. Just another word, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. So your choice.
Peeled and cut it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. 400 ml of can of coconut milk. 1 beef stock cube crumbled. 1 cinnamon stick. Put that on my list because I haven't had cinnamon sticks before. I'm going to buy some. 1 tablespoon of fish sauce. And 100 grams of baby spinach leaves. And I would chop them up a bit because, you know, they are small, but just to get that palate, you know, sort of properly without them sticking to the roof of your mouth or something. Chopped salted peanuts and papadums to serve. Ooh, sounds exciting. Right, so we're heating an oiled large saucepan over a medium heat. Add the onion. Cook, stirring occasionally until soft. Add the paste, cook, stirring for 1 minute or until fragrant. And you know that's, you know, I've done it myself when you can sort of smell it coming from the pan. Beautiful. Add sweet potatoes, coconut milk, stock cube, cinnamon, and half a cup of water. Gently boil, covered for 10 minutes. Take the lid off your pan and gently boil for a further 15 minutes. Or until your sweet potatoes are tender and the sauce has thickened. Now remove the cinnamon stick, stir in fish sauce and the spinach. Remove from the heat and sprinkle with the chopped peanuts, leaving some for reserve, just to sprinkle a few over the top and serve with papadums. Now this is a simple dish when I start reading it out. Very simple.
It is very simple. And as you're aware, I'm not keen on sweet potatoes.
I know that, yes.
I look at it, I think, why not use ordinary
potatoes? Ordinary potatoes, exactly.
Or possibly even better, sorry, not better than your recipe, but instead of potato, put cauliflower florets.
Well,
you know, you've got this basic sauce,
yeah,
haven't
cauliflower
you?
And broccoli florets, maybe,
yeah.
You know, interchange.
Yeah.
Yeah, never thought of that.
Well, no. Yeah. But, again, it's you come up with these recipes and you think, well, you could make something quite different just
exactly.
by changing one ingredient.
Exactly,
so
exactly.
I like the sound of that. I think the everything else is good. Yeah, worth a try.
Well, when I read it through, Peter, to be quite honest, I saw that one cinnamon stick and I hadn't read the rest, of course. You know, I just go through it and I read them and you know, ponder over them. And then I thought, oh, why can't I just stick, you know, half a teaspoon of cinnamon in? And then I read the method and then I thought, uh-oh. They take the stick out. So pretty hard to get cinnamon, powdered cinnamon out of a dish. So basically, Yeah, I think it's a good idea to have some sticks, cinnamon sticks in your pantry.
Well, I know I'm going along with you. I find it hard to believe that that stick that you put in and you cook with it and then you take it out has left anything behind because the stick looks the same coming out of it. So I always use the dried powdered stuff.
And oh, yeah. Well, I have got the dried powder. But with this, obviously, the stick must go through the flavour because the cinnamon would sort of like... You'd see all the little wee powdered bits through it, wouldn't you? And it would go right through it.
It grinds up very small, you know.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you should use a stick. It's a proper thing to
That's
do.
Right.
I used to, but I don't bother now.
No. But anyway, it looks delicious, Peter, as you can see. And very, very wholesome and nice for a meal. Yeah.
I like the idea that it's vegetarian, and I'm far from vegetarian or anything, but I do think it's nice to have options that are tasty.
Definitely. Mm. No, so that's definitely one that I've been sort of like, you know, going through my recipes over these last weeks or months, and then I certainly sort of, I've got a little stack at the moment, so it's sort of like cooking myself through these recipes that I sort of might take fancy and have for a meal one night. So I've got these little ones and I'm just working my way through them to just to really, really try them out.
Well, I'm a bit the same. I sort of each week I pick out usually one or two and I think, well, I will cook that somehow.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm the same. So, it's good. It's good to try.
It is.
Well, anyway, I'm going to move on. And like I said before, you know, Peter's had this sort of like in a fight with himself about making scones, and he's such a busy guy, so we haven't really got down to it. But when I saw these Tatey scones, I thought, oh, Peter might quite like this recipe. Month's time, we might get to see some.
I think they're Tatey scones.
That's the English potatoes, way of saying
it. Potatoes, tatties.
What did I say? Tatey.
You've got very posh.
Tatties. It's not tatty. No, that sounds tatties. Like tatty clothes tatties, or something.
Tatties.
Oh, okay. That's the English version, Peter.
Well, it's more Scottish, actually.
Oh, is it? Tatties. Oh, okay. Right. But anyway, this is simple, and it is going to be something that I make, but there's a few little things that go with it. So I'll just see how we go. 500 grams of floury potatoes. Now, they always say, well, they've given a few varieties, Maurice Piper's or King Edward's peeled, but I haven't heard of either of those varieties. Have you?
Well, yes, I have, you see, because, again, back in the UK, if you go into a supermarket, there are all sorts of King Edwards and all sorts.
Oh.
And when they refer to waxy potatoes or floury, you can find them there. But, of course, here, you've either got washed or unwashed.
Oh, no, I think Agria is actually a floury potato.
Agria.
Yeah, pretty sure that's floury.
Very poor selection of potatoes.
Yeah, true. Okay, but anyway, 500 grams of floury potatoes, whichever variety you get, and 25 grams of butter, 2 spring onions finely sliced, and 100 to 150 grams of self-raising flour and salt and black pepper. Now, you're going to, I don't think I need to tell you how to cook potatoes. So, you know, you just do the usual, cook them in boiling water with a teaspoon of salt, and that's enough. And drain and leave to dry for a minute or so. Now, if you really want them to dry, you can drain them and put them, pop back on that, you know, the element that's just sort of winding down. But basically, you know, just leave them to dry for a minute. Mash until lump-free. You could put them through your ricer, I guess.
Through the ricer.
I saw that the other day. It's the first time I've seen a recipe that mentioned a ricer.
Oh, okay.
And I thought that was quite unusual because of your experience with ricers and telling me I'd never heard of one.
That's right, yeah.
So you could put it through. But
I definitely use a ricer.
Yeah, definitely. Time. Mash until lump-free, or if you've got a ricer, put them through that. Then stir in the butter, and when it has melted through, stir in the spring onions and enough flour. So measure out your flour first, so it's 100 or 150 grams, and to make it into a non-sticky dough. Season with salt and pepper, then leave until cool enough to handle. So basically, that's what you're doing. So you're rolling it out to a disc, put half of the mixture onto a floured ball and roll it into a disc about 20 to 25 centimetres. Cut round a plate if you really need to make it neat, but just put it in a circle. Now cut this into quarters and using a fish slice, transfers these to a dry frying pan. So it's not going in the oven, it's in a dry frying pan over a medium heat. The idea is to toast the scones rather than fry them. And you're cooking for 3 or 4 minutes on each side. It's like a pikelet, I guess. And then you're just repeating it, you know, you're sort of doing half at a time because, you know, you're not overcrowding. And, you know, you can only fit so many in a frying pan anyway. So this will be interesting when you're doing a dry frying. So you have to have a good frying pan. So then if you want to, you can actually use this. Once you've done your tatties or taties, scones, you could actually make this little wee beetroot salad, and you could serve with lovely salmon and creamed horseradish and some creme fraiche. But this little beetroot salad that I've got is one small raw beetroot peeled, 4 radishes trimmed, 1 small fennel bulb, 2 tablespoons of cider vinegar, 1 tablespoon of oil, and 1 teaspoon of brown soft sugar, and a little bit of chopped dill. So you can just sort of mix all that together and then, you know, sort of decorate that like I'm just going to show Peter on a plate, and top it with your lovely salmon and your no-bake or dry-fried scone is the base of this. And yeah, you can just pile that lovely little bit of salad over the top.
Well, yes, you threw me a bit when I got to the end there, and you said, and then you cook it in a frying pan. I was all set for these to go in the oven.
That's right, exactly. I thought,
how are they going to rise and...
Well, they're not, are they? The heat will...
They're cooked already anyway. It's just the flour that's got to...
That's right, it's binding them together. So the heat will sort of make them a little bit puffy, I should imagine, because that's what self-raising flour does, doesn't it, when it gets the heat and stuff. So, yep. I mean, you know, and then you can just put that little, you know, bit of veggie on. You're sort of going to put the cider vinegar and the oil and set that together. Sit that on the top, make it look pretty, and then just, you know, maybe put your creme fraiche and your salmon on the top and just make a little display.
Oh, right. Yes. So, what do you reckon? This is where you need a sauce on the top or something.
Well, that's true. Although you've got the oil and the cider vinegar. And that, you know, sort of makes a little bit of a dressing. Yeah.
All
but
right.
It's the scones mainly that I was referring to.
Yes, I appreciate that. Yeah. And interesting, because if you cast your mind back to February, I made the potato focaccia, didn't I? And everybody
was a bit
puzzled by that.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, putting potatoes in focaccia bread. But that was
nice. I think I made that as well, didn't I? Or did you bring me a piece?
I brought you a piece.
Oh, that's right. It was really nice.
But that sort of was more traditional because she still baked it in the oven.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So that was lovely. Yeah.
All right.
So that's it for the time being, Peter. And we can move on to our interval.
Oh, we'll move on to our interval. Now then, I seized upon the curry, the Yamasaman curry. So I thought we'll have curry for this. So I had a browse around, and there's all sorts of curry songs.
Oh,
for example, there's Papa Dom Preach by Madonna.
Oh.
Korma Chameleon by Culture Club. Dancing Queen by ABBA. Brothers in Nans by Dire Straits.
Brothers in Nans.
It's My Chapati and I'll Cry If I Want To.
Are you serious?
Dansak on the Ceiling, Lionel Richie. Love Me Tandoor by Elvis Presley, and Living Doll by Cliff Richard. Just to mention a few.
My goodness me. That is amazing.
Very tongue-in-cheek there.
Very good.
But the one I found is a genuine curry song. And it's the curry song. It's official music video. And it's by some group or something called Peace on Your Plate, so it's to do with cooking.
Oh.
So I think you'll like this one because it's a song about somebody cooking.
Oh, great. Okay. Indian cooking, obviously.
Indian cooking.
Oh, right. Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
Ah.
pan with the coconut oil. Put in the chopped onions, but don't let it boil. Add in your good salts and spices too. Keep stirring in the love, let the flavours come through, yeah.
Plants in a curry are all that we need. There's a whole lot of people that we gotta feed. Good health for you, good health for me. The power of plants can set the planet free. Plants in a curry are all that we need. There's a whole lot of people that we gotta feed. Good health for you, good health for me. We can try to live cruelty free.
Namaste, namaste.
Chopper, the more veg, the better. The more plants in your meal, the better you will feel. Tomatoes, cabbage, carrots, peas, broccoli, nuts, spinach, beans, lentils, fruit, squash, and seeds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mix them up.
Plants in a curry are all that we need. There's a whole lot of people that we gotta feed. Good health for you, good health for me. The power of plants can set the planet free. Plants in a curry are all that we need. There's a whole lot of people that we gotta feed. Good health for you, good health for me. We can try to live cruelty free.
Namaste, namaste.
Whilst you pray for peace, may all beings from hunger be released. May people thrive in a healthy world. Kindness and love for all boys and girls.
We can feed the world.
There we are, Gail. Well, next time, I think if you learn to play the sitar and I'll play some bongi drums, we could actually record that ourselves.
I loved it. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I could just imagine, you know, like the recipe we've just given over, you know, you could have that playing while you're making it.
Well, if you ever get the time, look it up on the look up the video on the on
it's
YouTube.
Great, and, yeah. Listen to the lyrics, folks. Listen to the lyrics. They're great. Right, well, we're going to start off with one pan moussaka. And I noticed in the supermarket, and I quite like eggplant. I've sort of, in the last few years, I've grown to like it because somebody cooked it for me, and I was really surprised that it tasted so good with a few spices. So this has got 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 eggplant cut into cubes, 1 onion finely chopped, 500 grams of lamb mince, 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 1 teaspoon of dried mint, 1 teaspoon of dried oregano, 2 garlic cloves crushed, 1 tablespoon of tomato paste, 1 cup of red wine, yum yum, 400 grams of diced tomatoes, that's in a can, and just some parsley and crusty bread to serve. So I looked at this, of course there's a white sauce that goes with it, and I straight away thought of Mr. Peter Fleming's magic white sauce. So you can either stick with that, but I am going to give you the recipe, and if you want to do it the way we do it, please do. But this one's got an egg in it though, Peter. I wonder if that would work the same.
I don't know.
I'll read it out to you and not assume that we're going to do it the way that I've actually do now. I never go back to that other one. So basically, the white sauce ingredients, 40 grams of butter, 2 tablespoons of plain flour, 2 cups of milk warmed, 1 cup of grated Parmesan cheese, 1 egg, and 1/2 teaspoon of ground nutmeg. So that's the white sauce recipe. So in a large, shallow, flame-proof pan, heat oil on high. Sauté the eggplant and onion for 3 or 4 minutes until lightly browned. Add the mince to the pan, Cook 5 or 6 minutes, breaking up lumps until they're evenly brown. So you've just got to keep at it with a fork or whatever. Add spices and garlic. Cook for 1 to 2 minutes until fragrant and stir in the paste and cook for 1 minute. Now, add wine to the pan to deglaze. Now, does everybody know what deglaze is? Do you know what deglaze is?
Well, I do.
So you tell me, Peter, what you think deglaze is.
Oh, I didn't think you were going to catch it out like that. Well, no, it's literally, you just keep it on the heat and pour some, it's always red wine, isn't it?
Usually red wine,
and
yeah.
And stir, and it takes all the grunge off the bottom.
That's right, all the good taste off the bottom.
Taste, not the grunge.
You see, it wasn't a trick question at all that I could catch Peter out on. He obviously knows about that, so that's what it does. So it gets all that beautiful crusty stuff, which has been left through all the, you know, sort of frying up. So please do it, because that's the flavour. And you're simmering until the liquid is almost evaporated. Stir in your tomatoes and reduce heat to low. Simmer 8 to 10 minutes until the sauce is thickened. Now, what you're doing here is preheating your oven grill to 200 degrees, so the high grill. So I'll tell you the reasons, you know, like when I say into the pan, well, I hope you've got a pan that it's not going to burn, you know, the handle's not going to burn when you put it under the grill, because it's one thing I've yet to do is find a pan that will, you know, that I can do that. But meanwhile, before I carry on with what we're going to do with that, in a saucepan, melt butter on medium. This is for your white sauce. Stir in the flour and cook 1 minute. That's the roux. Remove from the heat and gradually whisk in the milk. Remember we said the milk needed to be warmed. So whisk in the milk until smooth. Return to the heat and cook, stirring with the whisk, because that's what I do, until the sauce boils and thickens. Remove from the heat, whisk in half the Parmesan egg and half the nutmeg, and spoon that over the lamb mixture in a pan to cover. Sprinkle with the remaining Parmesan and nutmeg. Now what you're doing, because you've got that your grill on, you're going to put that under the grill, because everything's cooked, under the grill, and you're going to grill that for 2 to 3 minutes until the top is golden. It'll bubble and, you know, it'll look beautiful, and put that under, and then when it comes out, sprinkle it with parsley. So basically, it's a pan on the stove meal, but, you know, to get that sort of beautiful brown bubbly top, you do need to stick it under the grill for that short period of time. But this is a lovely dish.
Looks good. Well, I like the sound of that one, Gail.
It is.
A couple of things I'll comment upon.
Right, okay. So we're through with the recipe. So as I said to you before about the white sauce, but reading it, you're actually removing it anyway from the heat.
Exactly. That was one of my comments. Don't see why not. In case you've listeners have lost track of this, Gail always waxes lyrical about this white sauce. This is the method where you just use a small pan, you use everything cold, you put a spoonful of plain flour in, a great wadger, lump of butter. I don't measure any of this.
No, either do I.
Slop a load of milk in, put it on the heat, and then just bring it up to the boil, but you must keep stirring with a whisk all the time.
Yeah,
don't
all the time.
Put a bit of salt about it. And it comes every time you come up with a creamy white sauce. I think you could just beat the egg and the nutmeg into it the same
afterwards, exactly. Yeah. Well, I wasn't sure about that, not sort of studying it, but yeah, I totally agree with you. Yeah.
Now, the other interesting thing is that you mentioned about the shallow flame proof pan that has to go under the grill. Now, I think we got to the stage of watch Jamie Oliver doing a lot of these sort of meals.
That's right.
He would do something on the cooktop, and he would then put it in the oven. So we went out and bought a frying pan with a metal handle.
Oh, a metal handle?
Yeah, just a metal handle.
Okay.
Anyway, the interesting thing about that is I haven't done it very often, but I have it once or twice, yes.
Fine.
You cook something on the top, just the same as you have here.
Mm-hmm.
You put it, and then you pop it into the oven. You don't have to be careful not to get hold of the handle when you take it out.
Exactly.
Oh, it's so dangerous.
Yeah.
You get it out of the oven, you put it on a piece of board or something, you start doing something and think, oh, better move the frying pan.
And you've done that.
Well, I haven't. Not with a frying pan. I've done it as a child. I did it with a dustpan handle that was virtually red
Oh, my goodness.
But, yeah. Yeah. So, but
I was thinking, see how this dish is. See how that is. Now.
Yeah, that's just a...
Well,
yeah.
That looks just like a sort of ceramic dish to me. Now, I wouldn't put that on my stovetop.
No, I wouldn't.
No, but I'd possibly say something like an iron one or...
Or you just do it on the top and transfer it into something
that's
else
what
and
I
stick
thought.
It in there.
I would do that too
it's
as well.
It's safer.
Yeah, transfer it into something
else. You
don't else,
have to
yeah.
buy one.
No,
anyway,
that's true.
That's a good... I'm going to put that on one side as well. That's going into my got to make it list.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's... it'll be on my... I've got my microwave next to my, you know, my bench, bench where I wash my dishes and dry them, etc. And I've got a microwave there. And I'm getting this little pile on the top that I just go through them and I'm making sure that the ones that I really like.
Yeah, good idea. Right.
So...
you've got about 5 minutes.
Well, this is lovely. And quick, you've all done bread puddings, and you know, this was just seemed to have a little bit of a different touch, so that's why I liked it. And it's caramelized bread and butter pudding with sultanas and apricot glaze. Same again, 50 grams of butter plus extra for greasing, 7 thin slices of white bread, and of course, you're taking the crusts off, 100 grams of sultanas. 250 mils of double cream, 250 mils of whole milk, 3 medium eggs, 1 vanilla pod, which is another thing. Talking about cinnamon sticks, vanilla pods, I must do something about that. 25 grams of icing sugar and 25 grams of apricot jam warmed and sieved. And you can serve that.
I think you missed the 50 grams of caster sugar.
Did I? Oop. Too busy talking in between times. Right, so we add that then. 50 grams of caster sugar. That came after the eggs. Okay. So basically, you're preheating the oven to 190 degrees Celsius. Butter of 1.5 litre shallow oven-proof dish. You know, something reasonably deep. Generously spread the slices of bread with butter and cut each slice into four triangles and arrange in a layer of bread over the base of the dish. Then sprinkle with the sultanas. Arrange the remaining bread triangles on top or however you want to do it. Mix the cream, milk, eggs and sugar together. And I thought this was unusual and I don't know why they've done it, but I guess if it's come out great, and pass the mixture through a sieve. So... I'm not sure about that. And
that's for people like me with all the bits of shell I leave in.
Well, it could be. It
no,
could
I
be.
I don't know.
But I just don't know. I just sort of thought, well, that's, you know, you're mixing it all together and putting it through a sieve. And I know that the sugar's amongst that, so I'm not sure. But anyway, this will be going on my microwave as well. So I'll be trying that. Slit open the vanilla pod, scrape out the seeds and whisk them into the custard. Pour the custard over the bread and leave this to soak. Soak it up for 5 minutes. Now, place the dish in a roasting pan and pour enough hot water into the tin so it comes up halfway to the sides of the dish. I've done this before. Bake in a preheated oven for about 30 minutes until the top is golden and the custard has lightly set but has still got that soft centre, and just give it the wobble. Remove the dish from the roasting pan and leave to cool for about 15 minutes. Now, we're doing this again. We're going to preheat the grill to its highest setting, and we're going to put the icing sugar over the top of this, of the pudding, and place under the grill to glaze. Watch it carefully, though, as it burns really easily, so you're not moving from the spot. Okay, and then let it cool a little bit, and then brush the top with the sieved apricot jam, and serve with the clotted cream if you want to, or any cream that you have. So basically, that's it. Bread and butter pudding with a difference.
Well, that sounds a bit like the bread and butter pudding that my dear old mum used to make when we were at church. It was bread, just white bread, spread with butter and with sultanas.
Sultanas,
she put. We used to have a particular green sort of ceramic dish that she put it, and just poured a custard over the top, just ordinary
just a normal
custard. And baked it in the oven, and it was always
lovely,
just really nice.
Yeah, really nice.
And this is just a slight variation on that.
I remember a green enamel dish, you know, sticks in my mind, that was in our cupboard.
That's
at
the one.
Home. Yeah.
That's you must have got it from us. perhaps they're on special offer.
They were green, weren't they?
They were green.
Yeah, that's right. And that was usually the rice pudding dish.
No, this was the bread pudding dish.
Rice pudding. Rice pudding and bread pudding. Yeah. But basically that sort of thing, you know, the ones with the eggs in and, you know, sort of into that sort of thing.
Oh, memories.
Memories, that's right. Exactly.
Well, after that quick trip down memory lane.
Yeah, right.
Well, there we are. I think you're bang on time there.
That's us.
Some really good stuff there. Put it on top of your microwave. I'm going to put some of those on one side. And once I'm back. Now, as you know, I'm away for a few weeks. We're going off on holes.
Yes.
So there's been a bit of a fight amongst the staff here as to who... Who's going to take over the role of host of your show? I think Nikki's won.
Oh, okay. And, okay.
She is very excited about it.
Oh, good. You'll be missed, Peter.
It's a plum role.
They won't find the music that you find, believe me. But have a good time. You
Thank
and Claire.
You very much,
and enjoy, and I look forward to seeing you when you get back.
I should add that Gail has come along and given me a bar of chocolate with dairy milk chocolate with a fern, a kiwi fern across it for us to eat on the plane. Isn't that sweet of her? Okay. All right then. Bye for now.
Okay. Bye.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.